Let's go ahead with Lynn. Hi, Lynn. What's on your mind, ma'am?
Hi, doctor. I had, first, kudos to your call taker. He has amazing customer service skills. So I was, that's always nice. I wanted to ask you about, back in June of this year, you mentioned something about there were 5 cures for cancer, but you didn't elaborate what it was. Are you able to now?
Oh, sure. I won't go on and on because Daniel is waiting, but my goodness, ma'am, there have been so many cures for cancer back in the 20th century. We would just have our pick of 10 to 12 of them today, except for the fact that our public servants at a certain government agency keep doing such things as smashing the equipment with sledgehammers because they don't, quote, approve, unquote. Okay, let's get back to some of them. One of the very first ones, Joseph Beard. He was a professor over in the U.K., but his treatment did spread to this country. I'll get to that. And what he did was some really fantastic under-the-microscope observation of the growth of the cancer and the growth of a placenta. No kidding. And the man found out, and it's been confirmed 100 years later, that placentas invade the uterus and cancers invade wherever they invade by the very same way, ma'am. They invade in the same way. But he was smart, and he wondered, why does the placenta stop growing, but the cancers don't? They just keep going. Well, he observed with some fetal animal studies that the placenta would keep invading the uterus until that fetus, not the mommy, but the fetus, its own pancreas inside a mom, started making pancreatic enzymes, otherwise called digestive enzymes. But they do a lot more than just digesting lunch. And remember, the fetus isn't eating lunch. It's eating through the umbilical cord, as it were. But at the same time the fetal pancreas started making enzymes, bang, the uterus quit invading. So what did doctor do? What did Dr. Joseph Beard do? He did something very intuitive and smart. He put a whole bunch of those enzymes into an IV, gave them to people with cancer, and oh my God, their cancers went away. No kidding. The same thing that switched off the invasion of the placenta switched off the invasion of the cancers. They couldn't invade anymore. Okay, he was curing cancer with that. It spread to the United States. And the last doctor here in the United States to do it was in Dayton, Ohio. No kidding, about 10 miles from where I was a kid. He was in Dayton, Ohio, and in 1957, he got warned by FDA that if you keep treating cancer with those enzymes in the IV bottle, we're going to come and get you. I'm serious. That's what they did. They didn't come and get him because he quit. He didn't want to be rated by FDA like our clinic was rated a few years back. But digestive enzymes given intravenously can cure cancer. Dr. Beard proved it. He even worked out why it works. And yet we can't use them legally here in these United States. We have to pay $100 billion for patent medicines. Okay, let's get around to another one. This one appeared, and I won't do it, by the way, Dan, if you're waiting, I'm not going to go on forever here, but I have to do this second one. This one, an article about it appeared on the front page of the Los Angeles Times in 1931. It was all about a big celebratory dinner because an engineer, no less, not even a doctor, how about that, had cured every one of 15 cancers that were sent to people with cancers. I'm sorry, I should honor the people here. People with cancers who had been sent to him by faculty members of the University of Southern California. No kidding. These are professors at the University of Southern California that sent this engineer, whose name was Royal Rife, 15 people with cancer, and guess what? Their cancers were all 100% cured. Oh my gosh, what did Royal Rife do? Well, Royal Rife was quite the electronics fellow for the 1920s. He had this giant microscope, and it saw things better than most other microscopes. And he found that every cancer has a little bacteria that grows right along with the cancer. Now, it wasn't the same bacteria with every cancer. It was just a bacteria. It could be this bacteria, bacteria A, bacteria B, whatever. But they were always over the cancer. So he got this very bright idea. His microscope was a very, very big one. He called it a beam array because what he used it for was not only observation, but he beamed frequencies, you know, like radio frequencies, TV frequencies. He beamed frequencies through his microscope, and he discovered which frequency was a so-called dissonant frequency with the bacteria that he was observing. All the dissonant means is it makes the bacteria vibrate to the point where it dies. Dissonance is like you turn your radio and it's a little off the right station, so it goes buzz at you. That's a dissonant frequency. So anyway, he cured 15 people of their cancers by doing nothing more than beaming a ray at the bacteria surrounding their cancers. It didn't hurt them any. It hurt the bacteria. They all died, and the cancers went away. So they were having this celebratory dinner, ma'am, because Rife had cured cancer. Okay, what happened to him? Ah, my. First, someone sent out who is very, very much suspected now to have been a spy for the various authorities. They started giving him trouble. And what do you know? Unfortunately, Rife came from an alcoholic family. He was a bit of an alcoholic person himself. He drank himself to death. But his equipment was still there. And so that was the 1930s. And so in the 1950s, the last person who was able to use his equipment, a Dr. Ruth Drown, she was curing people of cancer with Rife equipment. And her office was invaded by agents of guess which federal agency, which smashed all the equipment with sledgehammers. And yes, I am yelling and screaming. This should never happen in a free country. Not free to cure cancer without hurting them. But that's what happened, ma'am. So we have Joseph Beard, we have Royal Rife, and if we had the time and everybody had the patience, I could go through about eight more. But they are out there. They're documented in books. There's a very good book out there called Suppressed Medical Science by Jack Phillips. You can read about some more in there too, ma'am. But it is so, so sad, and I'll shut up so shortly, that our public servants are actually preventing us because they don't, quote, approve, unquote. And guess what approval costs? According to the Tufts University Center for the Study of Drugs, in 19, or 2014, excuse me, it cost in 2014 $2.6 billion, I did say billion, dollars to get approval from that agency. And nobody can afford $2.6 billion to do such things as vibrate bacteria or put in intravenous pancreatic enzymes. So, if it's not approved, we're going to smash it, even if it cures cancer. Okay, I'll shut up.
Doctor, what was the name of that book again? I want to get it.
Suppressed Medical Science.
By who?
Jack Phillips.
Okay, thank you so much, doctor.
You're welcome, ma'am, and thank you for calling. And I'm sorry for getting emotional about this, but it's just a crime. It really is a crime. Look at all the people dying of cancer. And we've got natural remedies out there that we can't use.